Okay, let's try this one more time. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Oh, that's what God wants. Enthusiasm. That's what we want. There you go. Thank you. I love your song that you picked out today. It goes along a little bit with my sermon. You know, you and I are to fear God. We're to love God. God loves us. God wants nothing to do but the best for us. But you and I had better fear God. Today I'm going to give a few examples of why. You see what some people did who were there doing what God said and then turning away. We'll start in the Old Testament with a couple examples, and I have to start out with one I used last time, I think, when I gave another sermon. And let's go back to Isaiah 14:12 about Lucifer. So if you go with Isaiah 14:12 with me. Now we have to realize what God had given Lucifer. Lucifer is one of the archangels. He was the top three angels. The top three is in charge of all the other angels. They each had a third of the angels. So God had a lot of trust in him. And he had been a good servant, been doing the job that he was called to do. And yet what? Somehow, some way, iniquity was found in him. And he decided that because he was so beautiful, so great, was in charge of one third of the angels, that he should have it all. And here it tells about how quick he has fallen from that. Once God sees that, I'm sure he gave him every opportunity to change. Or either he hit it pretty good, but it's hard to believe that he got a third of the angels to go with him. But the point is, when God made a decision what happened, Satan was what? He threw him out. So let's go in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He says in the next verse, yet thou say that thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That was God's answer. You have lost everything. You've gone from way up here, and you're going to the very bottom there's going to be. That's going to be your home. Because he rebelled against God. Then our second rebellion was, of course, Adam and Eve. When they chose the tree of good and evil. Same way. How could Adam and Eve, who have been and walked with God in the Garden of Eden, been instructed by him, and yet Satan had enough pull that he talked her into, really deceiving her, into eating of the forbidden fruit? Can you imagine if you were with God and you was walking with him? You would say, boy, how could they do that? You know, we have God's word and we sin. How do we do that? Same thing. In a sense, they had everything God told them and of course was with him. But we also have God's word with us. We can read it. We understand it because he's called us and opened our hearts and minds to it. The world reads it and they don't understand it. They do not understand it because God hasn't opened their mind yet. But how was Adam and Eve, who walked with in the garden and had everything, never knew what sin was, never knew anything about it. It was like a baby. They were like babes starting out, except they were adults. We talked about before, when you see a baby can run around naked and doesn't think a thing about it. They can see another baby naked and they don't think another thing about that either. But you get us older, you think a lot different. You know, you say, whoa, there is a difference, whoa. But that's the way God made us. He made us male and female. That's the only two races and sex there are. There is none of this other stuff that you hear all the time. That is not of God. That is of man. Please don't let no man get in your mind in any way and you start feeling sorry for what these people are doing. I feel sorry they're doing it, but I know they're sinning. And they're really making fun, when you get right down to it, of God's law. God started out with man and woman, and everything is developed from that. This other things that's come out, this is all man. Just like Satan got to Eve, telling her, oh, hey, he didn't really mean that. He just meant, you know, he just didn't want you because he didn't want you to be like him. And they listened. I don't know if they listened one time or maybe it's 10 times that this happened. I have no idea. Someday we'll get to find out. But whatever it was, he said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to be like what God is. I'd like to be able to, you know. And what did they do? They ate of the wrong tree. They'd eaten the tree of life. God didn't tell them they couldn't eat of the tree of life. Do you realize that? I mean, a lot of people forget that. God did not tell them they couldn't eat of the tree of life. And it was right out there in that garden also. So now if they eat in the tree of life, things would be a lot different, wouldn't they? There would have been no sin. There would have been no sin. They could have had a happy family, not a son killing the other son a few years later, committing the first murder. That's what God wanted for them. God wanted them to choose that tree of life. And they didn't. God has opened your mind to my mind and many others, thankfully. There is a better world coming. It's God's kingdom. And he's offered you and I an opportunity to be in that family for eternity. Be no more jealousy. Be no more hatred. Be no more killings. Be no more anything that is of this world, that is the good and evil. The evil of this world will not be affected in God's kingdom. And that's where you and I are going to be. But we have to finish the race. So we know where Lucifer isn't going. He will not be in God's kingdom. He's going to be in the pit. And he's going to be miserable because his main goal in life is to get people to be like him, to step on God in some way and choose his way over God's. And all he's done is deceived us whenever we do it. And we have to really be aware of that. A lot of times we just take for granted what we know. We need to always be studying and praying. Because if we don't do that, that's when Satan gets in this ear, and if you push him off here, he'll come over this ear for you. He'll talk to you here. And then if you do it, he'll put back. He'll talk to you again. He'll just keep talking to you. We should just shut up. And the only way you're going to shut him up is tell him, get away from me, Satan. I'm going to obey God. God says this. God says this. I am to love. God says I am to keep the Sabbath. God says, and he can't stand that. He will leave because he don't want to hear that you're that close to God and that you will say, God says, and you are that obedient You love God that amount, and you know the plan of God. That if you stay true to God, if I stay true to God, you and I will be in God's kingdom, in the holy city of New Jerusalem. That is our goal. That is our goal. God has given us a plan, His holy days. We are down to the Feast of Trumpets. The one will be fulfilled next time, which is when Christ returns. We must realize that our life is on the line every day. And we must realize that we are to choose Christ and God every day, many times a day, because Satan will never stop. He knows his time is near, and he's that roaring lion who would just love to find a crack in your armor or in mine. And if he does, and he tries to get in, and we don't knock him out and fix that crack, he'll be back because you didn't say what? I'm not going to do that. You said, well, get away. But if you really, whenever you understand, and when you came in, and when you understood in God's word, when he says, keep the Sabbath, you didn't say, well, if I feel okay today, I'll keep the Sabbath. Well, okay, if you do that, then okay, maybe you won't be there in God's kingdom. Because we've got to be on fire. We cannot take it for granted. Because you've been in church 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, whatever it is, you and I struggle every day against Satan the devil. So let's go look at a couple people in the Old Testament, and then we'll go to the New Testament. But let's look at a few people in the Old Testament who had it made in one sense. Let's go to 1 Samuel 8. We'll go to verse 1 and just get into the story on this one. Samuel, he was a prophet, and he ran the country pretty much for years. And he was good, but he had a little bit of a problem. He had two sons who weren't, and they were in the priesthood also. And it says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah. They were judges of Beersheba. And his sons walked not in the ways, but turned aside after liquor and took bribes and perverted judgment. Do we see any of that stuff in this world today? Does it sound familiar? Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways, nor make us a king, or now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Whoa, first big mistake, right? All of a sudden, they want a king. Now here you are being guided by God the Father. Think about this. You're being guided by God the Father. And because you think Samuel's old, they're not thinking that God can replace Samuel with someone else to guide and direct him. So they decide, well, just like Satan, he decided he wanted to do and take God's place. They decided that they want a king just like the rest of the world. They don't want to be different. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't be different. We are different. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be living God's way of life. And God's way of life certainly isn't a part of this world that we live in. Surely we can all see that as it seems to be getting worse and worse as time goes on. Which means, that means Christ is closer to coming. Because he's only allowed to go so bad, and then God's going to send Christ. And therefore we hope to be with him at the Feast of Trumpets, become a part of that army, which is going to straighten out this world. So, let's go down here. And the Lord said in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, and I should not reign over them. Now when you go back, that's basically what Eve and Adam did, right? They decided to do what Satan said. So they rejected God and his way. Verse 8 says, and according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told people the words and asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of a king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons. Do we see that today? Sure they do. They do whatever they want. And appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive garden. Yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give it to his officers and to his servants. That's going to be their pay. And he will take your men servant and your maid servants and your goodliness, young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and he shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day, because you rejected him. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. After all that, they're saying, we want a king. We don't want God. Now, doesn't that seem hard to believe? But, you see, we've seen people who understand God's truth and they've left. Because the world looks so good to them for some reason. Or it be because of money, fame, whatever it could be. Satan made it look good and they chose it. And they chose it. That we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go you every man unto his city. And so they picked out a king here later on. Go to chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Here's where I could go back to. I don't think I want to go back. No, we'll just go there. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. He was supposed to wait till who got there? Samuel. He was supposed to be the one who took care of it. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, and he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down upon us to Gilgad, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced," now listen to this, "I forced myself." Now we're starting to make excuses, right? "I forced myself." Who was it said about Eve? "She made me do it. She gave it to me, the fruit," right? Isn't that what Adam said? "The woman gave it to me. That woman you gave it to me." We all make excuses when it gets right down to it sometimes. "I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over the people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." He rebelled. When we break God's laws, what do? We're rebelling. And if we're deceived, hopefully we're deceived. But whenever we do break a law, I hope that we understand, and I'm sure we do, that we need to repent immediately, as soon as we know it. And thankful to Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're able to do that and be forgiven. So what took Saul out of the loop? He rebelled. And why did he rebel? Because of his vanity, because he didn't want the people to leave him. Didn't want the people to leave him. And now let's go to a very famous, well, not famous, yeah, it's famous to us who understand God's law. Turn to Ecclesiastes 1:1. Says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity, vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." David's son did everything he could when he was king. Never held back anything that he wanted to do. He was the king. And what did he find out after all that he had done? All that he had learned? Well, at the end of Ecclesiastes, all the thing here, he's telling about things that are going on. He tells you. The end of Ecclesiastes. And this is really in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12. He tells the whole conclusion. And he's had the money, he's had the wealth, he's had the opportunity to do everything, had opportunities to learn everything, to be a part of building great things, been a part of everything, been the greatest one. People coming when he first was made king because God gave him the wisdom, because he asked for wisdom. And because that's what he asked for, instead of money or possessions, God gave it all to him because he had the right attitude. He didn't know how He was humbled. He was a man who was humbled and said, who am I to be in charge of this great nation? And for a while he ruled the nation. And guess what? After a while he said, well, I got money, I can do this. So I want to do this. I want to find out more. I want to do this. I. And the more he did I, the farther he grew away from God. Because then it wasn't what God wants. And we are his children. We're his servants. And the one who loves us, he went out and did all these things. But when he's teaching his son, what's he teaching him? He's teaching him not to do what he did. But he can't come out of it. He's so involved in it at this point, he doesn't know how to get out of it. And you have to feel sorry for him in one sense because he did all this, and probably at the end he realizes, man, because that's what he says here. In verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty. It says this is the whole man. Some say duty of the whole man. Some translations. This is the duty of man. He is our king. He is the one we're to worship. He's the one we are to please. And he's going to give us what? He's going to give us a happy life. If we obey God completely, we will have a happy life. We will have no doubt of what we're doing. And we know that that's how we grow in faith and hope and love. Because you have to have those in God. So you will trust and obey him to your death if you have to. If we love God enough and if we serve God and are close to God, what is going to be happening around us? What's happening now is a beginning. Because you see, the country's going trying to go lawlessness. And when you don't have laws, you have trouble. And that's exactly what's happening in these major cities. Now they've got it started, and now they were trying to get rid of a president, which they did. But the point is, guess what? Now they don't know how to stop this lawlessness, because once you let a kid do something, try to stop him. When you say for a year, you can go ahead and do whatever you want. Oh yeah, we're behind you. Don't worry. You know, praising you and say, oh yeah, you have a right to do this. You have a right to burn another city down. You have a right to tear up these stores. You have a right to hit the police. You know, you have a right to burn down buildings, people's businesses, people's homes. It's okay. It's not okay. Not according to God. God says you're to love. Love doesn't do any of that. And that's what God's family is going to be about. That's what God's kingdom is going to be about. You're going to go up there and there's going to be nothing but love, obedience, happiness, joy. That's what he tells us we'll have in the fruits of the Spirit. We can have it today. We should be filled with it. Because we're going to need it. But then again, let's turn to one who feared God, who was a young boy, and you turn to 1 Samuel 17:32. That's the beginning of it. Now, David was a young man, been out in the field. God had blessed him. He'd taken care of his sheep. It's just like God does with us, or say a minister does with us sometimes. He has to go for one sheep who's going astray, and try to bring that sheep back. That's what David did. He was willing to take on a bear. He was willing to take on anything to get that sheep back. And that's what God does for us. He doesn't want us not to be a part of his family. Once he's opened our heart and mind to his truth, he wants you and I to follow through. So since I'm going so long, I better get forth unless we're going to have a two-parter. So I'll move a little faster. But anyhow, the thing that David had was he had integrity, he had courage, he loved God, and he feared God. But he knew with God he could do anything as long as it was of God's way of life. And he did. He went out and killed the big giant. So when we have God's Spirit and we have God's in us, we're able to do things that we could never have done before. Because we have the faith, we have the hope, and we have the love for God and realize that we can trust him totally. That's one thing you know about God. What he says is true, and what he says he'll do, he does. And what he did first of all is he called you and me to understand. We are so blessed. And yet sometimes we forget. And during this time of year, Thanksgiving time, we are thankful to be together as a family and everything. And you know, it's amazing how that sometimes you take things for granted, right? You take life for granted. Until something happens in your life. And when it happens in your life, it helps you become a better person sometimes. Because you learn to have more love and compassion for someone. Before I had back trouble, I used to hear people back trouble. I didn't have any trouble with it. It's no big deal. Of course, I was younger then. After I had my back so bad for 8.5 years, when I hear someone tell me they have back trouble, I almost hurt again. Because you have that type of compassion. Because you realize what they're going through. And that pain, at least mine, never let up. It just went from lower to a higher degree all the time. And you didn't want it to go any higher than what it was. Because it hurt bad enough the way it was. I remember the first time somebody in my family died. I figured sympathy, you know, and I did have sympathy for people who lost loved ones. But when it hits home, you have a whole lot more understanding of what someone's going through and what they're going to have to go through afterwards they lose a loved one. And it's like anything else. If you lose a loved one, you never forget them. You never forget them. There's always a little bit of a hole in your life where that person left you. Because that was a part of your life. So sometimes we have to suffer to learn. It's not the best way to learn. You know, they always say there's two ways to learn something. You learn by someone telling you and you listening and getting the understanding of it and try to get in with it. But the other way is you have to go through it. And if anybody that's had to go through something, they'll tell you it's much better to listen and grow without having to go through it. Because it's the harder way. But you will not forget. You will not forget if you have to learn a lesson the hard way. We are blessed to understand that we have a God who loves us, who's going to take care of us, wants us in that beautiful new city, Jerusalem, where he reigns and where we will be changed. We need to learn to love God, but we also need to realize to fear God. Because when God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He hasn't told us exactly when everything's going to happen. It's in the Bible. But he's giving you hints. He gives you ideas, and he's going to tell you how bad it's going to be. It's going to be horrible. We can't even imagine it. People who have been in World War II and some of those wars, they have a good idea how bad it is. They probably say, I've been to hell and back. And some of them had. I had an uncle who went through three of the major battles in Europe. And he came back and he wasn't the same. First of all, his death, almost, because he'd been around so many shells fired. You had to almost yell at him to talk to him. Finally, after about 12 or 15, well, probably about 20 years, they found some stuff in the 70s, and they finally helped him, which was really surprising to us. We couldn't believe we didn't have to yell at him when we talked to him, because before you had to yell. But he suffered tremendously, and it messed him up for his whole life. But you know, our God is a God of love. But when you disobey, turn with me to Acts 5:1. You've heard this one before. Phew, okay. Anybody ever heard about Ananias before? Sure you have. These people planned to lie to husband and wife, right? They planned ahead of time to lie. It says in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power that hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that has not lied unto men but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost or spirit, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And in the space of 3 hours, his wife, not knowing what had been done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much, that's all, no more. We're giving it all. We're really good people. We're giving it all. We want you to know who we are and that we're really God's people. You know, we're good, right? 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 And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for as much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at the feet and yielded up the ghost. And as young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. That's one thing that you and I must always keep in mind, not to lie. God says a liar has never been in the kingdom of God. And you go back in Exodus 20, go to the commandment, says, thou shalt not lie, we shall not kill. Another example was who? It was Lot's wife. I won't turn to it, but Luke 17:32, Lot's wife looked back, right? Told her not to. Don't look back. She turned a pillar of salt. We have to watch what we say, what we do, because we need to be walking in a straight path and a narrow path that leads us to God the Father. And what gets us there is love, obedience, and growing. First of all, we got to have the commandments of God in our hearts and mind. And you remember, the Israelites used to have 10 commandments on the doorpost on the side. And as they'd go out every morning, they'd touch it and then walk out the door. They looked at it. So every day when they walked out, they were saying, God is first. You know, don't worship any other gods. Don't use God's name in vain. Keep God's holy day. Every one of those commandments were in front of them. We used to have a plaque like that years ago, and we had ours in front of our door. When we remodeled, I don't know what my wife did with the sign, with the plaque. I'll have to ask her about that. I just thought about that. I missed it, but thought she'd probably put it up, and she didn't put it back, I guess. I'll have to ask her. But anyhow, we need to keep that in our mind every day, who we're serving. We're serving God the Father. And Jesus Christ makes it possible that you and I can continue to do that because you and I sin. We may not want to. I hope we don't want to, because if it's planned, that's bad. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, you and I are able to be forgiven of our sins. We're being able to be forgiven, and at that point, God is hoping that you and I will be more aware of that sin we committed, not to do it again. You know, they called the Israelites hard-headed in that. We're part of the Israelite family. And good thing we have a loving and merciful God. Because of Him, you and I are here today. And you and I will be in God's kingdom if we do as God says, if we obey. If we keep Him first and don't let Satan the devil come between us and God. I hope you all have a great Sabbath day. It's good being here with you. It's a blessing every week for me to see you. You may not want to see me, but hey, you don't always get what you want. Sorry. But you know, the difference in a family is a family can kid and joke and nobody takes it serious because they know that's usually done out of love or out of orneriness. You know. But every week, I hope you look forward to coming back to God's church, because when you do, we are obeying God. This is the beginning. Because as long as we're coming here, as long as we're still seeking, we can be forgiven. You know, I don't know how many people, I've been in church a long time, and be aware of our brothers and sisters. If you start seeing people start coming to church later and later and later and leaving earlier and earlier and earlier, they're walking away. They just couldn't do it all at once. I've watched it so many times. My daughter was one of them. I tried to tell her. Because I said, you know, I said, you're coming later and later. Well, you know, there aren't many young people in the church. And there's excuses. See, here we go. Here are my excuses. Why? You know, it's not that I don't want to hear God. Well, you know. But the point is, you have to realize that when it isn't important to be before God each week, when He says, this is His day, this is His day, you have no say-so. The only thing you and I have to say so is, yes, I will, sir, or no, I won't. We need to make sure we understand who we're before, when we're here, You're before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And we need to make sure that we come with that attitude when we come to church. Because God is going to teach us. God is going to help us. You may find someone tell you something that you've been having a problem with. That's why we have brothers and sisters. Or if you have a problem, somebody will be there to help you get through it. It's a family. Family takes care of family. And God takes care of us as long as we want to be a part of His family. So let's have a happy Sabbath. Have good conversation later. And let's thank God that we're still here.